Well, as John said, welcome to Hoboken Grace, and this morning we've got a lot of really, really cool things planned for you, so I'm going to be moving pretty quickly, so just kind of try to stay with me this morning. We're going to be moving through some stuff pretty fast, and right now we're kind of setting the stage for what we're about to talk through this fall, and this fall we're going to be doing this series, I'm going to introduce it later, called Destinations, and we're going to be talking through a lot of really cool stuff. But before we get there, I wanted to take a couple weeks to talk about some foundational issues that I realized if we didn't get a hold of, if we didn't wrap our arms around, that we were gonna end up going into this fall and maybe falling short of what was possible. And we've got some really crazy and great expectations for this fall. We've got some great expectations for what we think God wants to do inside of our community. And we've got great expectations for our church as a whole and what we're going to be able to do in and around our community. But more than anything, we've got some really great expectations for what can happen inside of our lives personally. And if you're just visiting Hoboken Grace for maybe the first time today, for us, Hoboken Grace isn't about an organization. It's about a group of people who are passionately pursuing someone, who are passionately pursuing God and passionately pursuing this mission that he has us on, and a group of people who are saying, okay, how can we become better followers of this Jesus Christ, and how can we become better people? How can we make the most of every single day that he's given us here on this earth? And we've got some great expectations for what's going to happen for us personally as we go into this fall. But before we get to that, there was something that I realized we have to talk about. Because if we don't understand what we're about to talk about today, if we don't begin to challenge one another and encourage one another with what we're about to talk about today, I almost guarantee you that we will get tripped up somewhere this fall and we will fall short of what's possible. And what we're talking about today is something that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey, I guarantee you that this is part of your life. And I guarantee you that as you look at where you want to go in life, that this is something that constantly trips you up. And for some of you, as you go into this fall, there are going to be things that you want to see happen in your life, choices that you want to make, things that you want to change. And you're going to get really excited about it, but all of a sudden there's going to be a lie that begins to creep into your life, and there's going to be something that you hear over and over again. Maybe it's just before you go to bed, or maybe it's at the height of when you're the most excited about what you think God wants to do in your life. There's going to be a small voice that creeps in there, and it's going to tell you, you can't make it. And you're going to be so excited, and you're going to be like, man, and you're going to walk out of Sunday, and you're going to be like, man, I can't believe what God wants to do in my life. I can't believe where God wants to take me. I can't believe what's possible. And you're going to get home, and you're going to make dinner and do the dishes, and life's going to get back to normal on Monday. And all of a sudden, you're going to hear this voice, and it's going to say, you can't make it. Because some of the choices we're going to be talking about are really big. And if you've ever decided to kind of begin to take control of your life, and if you've ever said, okay, this is where I want to go in my life, and if you've ever done that and started to pursue it, you know that all of a sudden you're going to have to make choices that are difficult, some choices that seem bigger than what's possible for you. And there are going to be feelings that begin to creep up inside of you, and feelings that say, you know what, let's just stick to the status quo. Feelings that say, you know what, let's go this other direction. And this fall, you're going to get to that point, you're going to be excited about it, and there's going to be this voice inside of you that says, you know how this is going to feel, and you're not going to make it. You know you've tried this before, and you're not going to make it. Let's be honest. You've tried to get past this before. You're not going to make it. Because the truth is, and I think this is true for almost all of us, if not all of us, most of us have become victims of our feelings. For most of us who are here in this room, And I think for most people who are alive, we've become victims of our feelings. And so you say, man, I really want to see this happen in my life. I really want to change this. I really want to, you know, it happens all the time in January, right? Because in January you set out and you say, man, I'm going to do this year. This is my New Year's resolution. I'm going to make this change. I'm going to change this about my life. But you get into it and all of a sudden your feelings begin to well up and you're like, and you don't feel like doing it. You don't feel like going there. You don't feel like making this decision. And for most of us, we live our lives as victims of our feelings. And so we end up walking away from where we want to go because we're controlled by our feelings. We're controlled by our emotions. And you're going to walk into this fall and there are going to be great things that you want to see happen in your life, but you're going to realize, I don't think I can make it because I know how that's going to feel. And we dress it up with all sorts of really cool things so that it sounds like it's a really good thing in our life instead of a really bad thing in our life. And so we'll say things like, well, you just need to follow your heart, which basically means that you're a victim of your feelings, right? Or it just feels right. And if you're logical at all, you realize that those statements are awful things in your life because whenever you follow what feels right, it usually leads to pretty bad things. Have you ever had a conversation with someone where they use that line, you know, I just have to follow my heart, and you just felt like screaming? And so you're talking to your friend, and she's just been in abusive relationship after abusive relationship, and you know that that guy's a jerk, and she's like, you know, I just have to follow my heart. And you're like, your heart is destroying you. And we see this pop up in our life all the time. And sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's serious. And so you're walking past the cupcake store. You're walking past Sweet over here. And you've made some decisions in your life, man. You're changing your course. You know where you want to go. You know where you want to be headed. But your heart says, cupcake. It just feels right. Red velvet. And sometimes it's funny, but we all know this. Sometimes it's serious. And so you're sitting in front of that computer and you don't want to look at those things again. But you know, I've never beat this feeling before. And there's something inside of you that says you'll never beat this feeling. So you might as well just give up. And your friend calls you and says, listen, I'm thinking about having this affair. It just feels right. I have to follow my heart. And you realize, sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's awful. And as we go into this fall, if we're going to make the most of what God wants for us, there's something we need to understand about this, and we have got to begin to realize that you don't have to live your life as a victim of your feelings. And so today what I want to do with you is I want to share with you two things. One thing you kind of already know. I want to share with you two pieces of information, and then I want to give you a tool on this journey. A tool that I believe will begin to help you to begin to experience victory, and you'll be able to take this into all sorts of different areas of your life. And so we're going to dive right into this. And the passage that we're going to dive into today is actually found in Romans chapter 7. And Paul's walking through this idea of being a victim of your feelings. And he talks about it a little bit differently than the way that we talk about it. If you have your notes today, you can pull those out inside your program. There's a little notes card. You can kind of jot this stuff down as we walk through this. And Paul is walking us through, okay, how do you overcome these urges? How do you overcome living your life as a victim to what you feel and those those feelings that well up inside of you. And so he starts off in verse 21 of chapter 7, and he says, I've discovered this principle of life. He says, listen to me, I want to tell you something, pay attention here. I've discovered this principle in life. And then he begins to walk us through this. And I think this is where we begin to find how we can discover victory. He says, that when I want to do what isn't right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? He says, listen, I want to walk you guys through this principle. And he doesn't talk about it in exactly the same terms that we've been talking about it so far. And one of the things that I really want you to be able to get today is that as you're reading your Bible, you're going to see the authors of the Bible talking about overcoming your feelings all the time. But you might not realize it because you don't understand the words that they use to describe it. So I'm hoping that you'll grab a hold of that today, because it's going to make you, as you're reading through the Bible on your own, it's going to help you to be able to understand it a lot more and understand what they're trying to teach you and what they're trying to walk you through. But Paul says, okay, listen, I've got this principle that I want to teach you. You have to understand this. He says, and this is the way it shows up in my life. He says, I love God's law. I want to do what's right. I know where I want to be headed in life. I know the decisions that I want to make in life. He says, but then there's like this war that's going on inside of me. So, but then there's something inside of me that's at war with what's right, with where I want to go. And he says, it begins to creep up inside of me and I end up doing what I don't want to do. He says, all of a sudden these feelings, these urges, right? This exact same thing that we're talking about. He says, all of a sudden this stuff starts to bubble up inside of me and it's like I'm a slave. It makes me a slave to sin. And if you guys don't understand that, I'm telling you, when you begin a journey and you say, okay, this is where I want to go in my life, and you set out goals and you set out expectations for what the decisions that you want to make, you will begin to understand this principle of being a slave. If you've ever done that before, you know what I'm talking about, because just what we mentioned a little while ago, you're sitting there in front of that computer, you're like, I'm not going to look at this, but you feel like you're a slave, like you can't say no. And we joke around about the cupcakes, but the truth is, you're sitting there and you realize, no, I need to say no. I need to say no for my health, for everything that I want out of life. I need to begin to get control over what I eat. But you're a slave. You're a victim of your feelings. You've become a slave to bad decisions. And there's those feelings well up inside of you, and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to win. Why? Because, as Paul says, you've become a slave to sin, your own urges, your own selfishness, your own... And he says, there's this thing inside of me, and it's destroying me. And I love the fact that he ends this phrase the way that he does. I mean, listen to his words. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Have you ever felt that? I've felt that. Right? Because when you're at that, when that war is going on inside of you and all of a sudden those feelings come up and you want to do this, but you just feel like you have to do this. Man, it's miserable. And you're sitting there and you're like walking in the cupcake store and out of the cupcake store. Right? And it's just going back and forth. And it's awesome to see that Paul experienced the exact same thing that I experienced. And Paul says, man, it's miserable. This thing is warring inside of me. But he goes on. But the first thing that we need to realize is what he's trying to explain to us here in this first statement. And that is this. Your heart will destroy you, and your feelings will lead to destruction. Jeremiah says it this way in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I don't think there's any verse that flies in the face of what we believe as a culture more than this verse right here. Because most of us, the truth is, we really do believe that we could just follow our heart. But what Paul is saying and what Jeremiah is saying is that, listen, you can't trust your heart. You can't trust your feelings. And when you do, you will become a slave to bad decisions, and where you want to go is not where you'll end up. And so the first thing that you have to realize is that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Your heart will destroy you. Your feelings will lead to destruction. And I guarantee you that if you live your life following your heart, okay, I just had to follow my heart, you will look back and regret it. And what God wants you to understand this morning is that, listen, I created you in my image, but there's something that's broken about who you are. And your heart and your feelings are not going to lead you to what's true. They're not going to lead you where you want to go. And there is a war that's going on inside of you. The first thing that we have to realize is that it will destroy us. But Paul doesn't stop there. He continues. In the next verse, he says, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. He says, listen, there's this war going on with me, but I've got incredible news for you. And this is the thing you need to understand today, because some of you are here and you're like in this war. Listen, God knows that. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. And so Paul gets to this point and he says, but thank God, Jesus Christ stepped into your life. And then he begins to explain to you what that means. He says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And some of you are here and you're like, what is he talking about, Spirit? He explains that just a couple verses later in chapter 11. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies and by the same Spirit living within you. Just a couple verses later, he says, let me explain to you what the Spirit means. But jump back to the verse before this, guys. He says, listen, let me explain this principle to you. I've got this principle that you have to understand in your life. He says, it seems like every time I want to go somewhere in my life, there's this war and I get pulled the opposite direction. I'm a slave to sin. He says, but that's why Jesus Christ stepped into your life. He says, I want to explain something to you. All of your life, you have been a slave to sin. All of your life, you could not win that battle. He says, but Jesus Christ stepped into your life. And this is the amazing thing, because when Jesus Christ steps into your life, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, not only does he forgive you for everything that you've been doing, for everything that you've done, for everything that you will do, not only is there forgiveness, but there's power. And so he says, when Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross, he actually gave it so that his Spirit could come and live inside of you so that you would never, ever be a slave again. And before you became a follower of Jesus Christ, the truth is you were controlled by those urges. Before you became a follower of Jesus Christ, the truth is you were controlled by those feelings. You had no chance to win. You had no chance to go where you wanted to go. He says, but when you step into a relationship with Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, God puts his Spirit inside of you. What Spirit? The very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now you begin to live your life not controlled by those urges, not controlled by those feelings, not controlled by what's welling up inside of you, but you begin to live your life controlled by the Spirit. You begin to live your life controlled by God's Spirit. And all of a sudden you're able to sit there. It doesn't matter what the battle is. It doesn't matter what you're trying to change. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to leave that guy behind or whether you're trying to change the way that you relate to women. You can begin to look at those feelings and say, you know what? I don't have to lose any more. Yeah, there was a time when I was controlled by that. But that's not me anymore. I don't have to give in any more. Because the Spirit of God, the very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in me. And now I can begin to do what I want to do. And some of you are living your lives and you've stepped into this relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not surrendering to the Spirit. You're not giving him control. And Satan's stepping into your life and he's saying, listen, you're never going to win this battle. You don't have the strength to win this battle. You don't have the ability to win this battle. You don't have the power to win this battle. You're going to give in to your feelings just like you always give in to your feelings. And it's not true. It's not true. And as you read through God's word over and over and over again, and Paul often talks about these feelings as the flesh. Some of you are reading your Bible and you hear this flesh thing and you're like, what is he talking about? He's talking about literally your physical urges, your physical feelings, all those things that you become a follower. The truth is those feelings aren't going to go away. Some of you thought that. You were like, man, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. These feelings are going to go away. It's going to be incredible because somebody told you that. That's not true. The feelings don't go away, but the truth is you have a new power, a new strength. And what God says is when you begin to give control over to him, you can begin to win battles you've never won before. And this fall, you're going to walk into this fall and we're going to be talking about choices and decisions and you're going to be like, man, that's awesome, that's awesome. And Satan's going to step into your life and he's going to say, you've never won it before, you're not going to win now. And you need to plaster Romans 7 everywhere. You need to have it in your house, you need to have it in your cubicle, you need to have it surrounding you so that when this lie creeps back into your life, you can look up there and you can say, no, I may have lost before, but I am not who I was, and I am not going to lose now. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of me. And now I can do exactly what I want to do. Two pieces of information. The first is your heart will destroy you. The second is Jesus Christ has given you the power to win. And God's Spirit, I guarantee you, is stronger than your feelings. But some of you have known that for a while. And if there's anything that we say here at Hoboken Grace over and over and over again, it's that this journey isn't just intellectual, this journey is experiential. And knowing this isn't necessarily going to change your life. There are going to be times in your life where Satan's going to come in and say, listen, you're not going to win this battle. You've got to give in to this feeling. You've got to give in to this urge. You're not going to be able to beat this. And you're going to be able to look back on this passage and just knowing it is going to carry you through. But knowing it isn't necessarily going to help you win the battle. And so God's actually given you a tool. And what I want to share with you as we kind of bring this to a close is God's actually given you a tool to begin to build this into your life, for you to begin to experience this. And one of the things that the Bible talks about a lot is this thing called discipline, right? And some of you think about discipline and you think about punishment, but that's not what the Bible's talking about when it talks about discipline. In the Bible, there's a very distinct difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is when you pay for what you've done. Jesus Christ has paid the punishment, has taken the punishment for everything that you've done. You're forgiven. Once you step into that relationship, you're forgiven past, present, future. It doesn't matter. There is no longer any punishment. Now it's discipline. And discipline is distinctly different. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about this idea of discipline, and it talks about it like a runner and the way that a coach would discipline a runner, right? Which is very different from punishment, because you go out on the football field, and I'm really big on football today because Michigan beat Notre Dame yesterday. Yes. Thank you. And because I had part in that. In case you didn't know, I had a huge part in that. And those who are watching the game with me realized that there was energy coming from me to the team through the TV. And when that football team comes together in the fall, right, and the coach begins to get them ready for the games, he begins a process of discipline, right? And for those players, when they hit that field and that coach begins to run them through those drills, right, it feels like punishment. Let's be honest. But it's not punishment. Right? He's not saying you have to do this drill because you did something wrong or because you screwed up. I mean, that happens sometimes, but that's not what the drills are all about, right? It's discipline. And the coach realized, okay, we need to go through this over and over and over and over and over again. We need to run this drill over and over and over and over again because this is going to get you ready for the game. That's what the Bible's talking about when it talks about discipline. And one of the disciplines that God gives us, it's an ancient tool. It's this thing called fasting. And this discipline of fasting has everything to do with what we're talking about. And this is a tool that I want to kind of walk you through, and I want us to begin to incorporate into our church as we go throughout this fall. And to fast simply means this. It means to abstain from food. There are a lot of different kinds of fasting. Sometimes fasting is when you choose a couple different foods that you're going to abstain from for a certain amount of time. Sometimes you choose to abstain from food entirely for a certain amount of time. Sometimes you choose to abstain from food and water for a certain amount of time. There are all sorts of things that, different ways that this plays out. But usually fasting is when you say, okay, for this day or for this 2 days, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat meat. I'm still going to drink water, but I'm not going to eat food at all for this day or 2 days in order to be able to walk myself through this discipline. Now, I never understood fasting until I dove into The Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, and he began to walk me through a biblical understanding of what this means. And when I realized it, I realized, wow, this is an incredibly powerful tool. Because I always thought, and I was kind of told, that fasting was about prayer. And so you fasted because you took the time that you would have eaten and you spent it in prayer. And that's kind of part of the whole deal, but that's not why fasting began. Fasting actually began because of exactly what we're talking about today. You see, fasting is a discipline that teaches you you don't have to give in to your urges. Fasting is a discipline that teaches you, even though I feel a certain way, I don't have to act on it. And that I'm actually stronger than what I feel. And so you go throughout the day and your body says, you need to eat, you need to eat, you need to eat. And you realize, no, I don't have to eat. And your body tells you, and it's screaming inside of your mind, if you don't eat right now, you will die. Right? For some of you, you missed breakfast today and you walked in and saw donuts back there and you were glad because you didn't know if you could make it through the service. If I don't eat, man, I'm going to die. You see, because fasting is all about dependence and teaching you that what sustains you and where your power comes from is not the satisfaction of your urges, but your dependence on your God. And so as you go throughout the day, the reason that prayer is such a huge part of fasting is because when you begin to feel those urges, you go to God and you say, God, I realize that you're the one who sustains me, not the food. God, I realize that my strength comes from you, not from the food. This is one of the reasons that before Jesus Christ starts his ministry, he goes on a 40-day fast. It was all about dependence. It was discipline. It was God getting him ready for what he was about to step into. And as you go into this fall, and I'm telling you, in your life, this is something you're going to struggle with for the rest of your life, that you are a victim to your feelings. Fasting is one of the tools that you can begin to build into your life on a consistent basis to remind yourself that you're stronger than what you feel, to remind yourself that you don't have to give in, to remind yourself that, you know what, I'm sustained by him. I'm controlled by him. And no matter what feelings rise up inside of me, I can win. Because the truth is, and the band can come on up, because the truth is, all of those urges and all of those desires are good things. The truth is, those feelings that you feel are good things. And so you want and you need love, but there's a time and a place, and there are people that you need to walk away from, and there are people that you need to walk towards. And you know what? You say, I need food, yes. But there's a time and a place. And you can begin to control your feelings instead of your feelings controlling you. And what Paul wants you to understand in Romans 7 is that there was once a time when you were controlled by your feelings. But that's not who you are anymore. Listen to what Richard Foster says about fasting. He says, fasting helps us keep our balance in life. How easily we begin to allow non-essentials to take precedence in our lives. How quickly we crave things until we are enslaved by them. Paul writes, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Our human cravings and desires are like rivers that tend to overflow their banks. Fasting helps keep them in their proper channels. I pummel my body and subdue it, says Paul, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Likewise, David also writes, I afflicted myself with fasting. It's a discipline, Psalm 35, 13. This is not excessive pain. It is discipline, and discipline brings freedom. In the 4th century, Asterius said that fasting ensured that the stomach would not make the body boil like a kettle to the hindering of the soul. This fall, you're going to be confronted with a lot of different choices. And there are going to be lies that creep into your head that say you can't do it. My challenge to you as we begin to head into this is to take Romans 7, plaster it where you're going to see it over and over and over again. And begin to say, okay, each month, and if you're just beginning this, take one day a month and establish a fast. One day a month where you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to eat that day, in order to remind me that I am not a victim of my feelings. In order to remind me that I am dependent upon and sustained by my God. You can win this battle. You do not have to live your life as a victim. You can control where you go from here. Jesus Christ gave his life for that. So I invite you, as we walk through the rest of the service, to respond to him and to celebrate the fact that he's given you this victory, and that you can walk out of here and you can walk into the next few months, and you can begin to win. Father, I pray that this would begin to soak into our souls. I pray that this would be on our lips in all of our dinner groups as we go throughout the fall. And there are going to be times in our dinner groups where we're going to hear people say, I can't do it. It just feels too strong. I'm being pulled this direction. I pray that these words and these verses would be on our lips, that your word would be on our lips, just constantly reminding people, no, we don't have to lose anymore. We don't have to be victims anymore. Father, I pray that we would begin to build this discipline into our lives on a consistent basis to remind us of that, to draw us closer to you, to make us more and more dependent upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.